Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chamber Channel's Five Questions podcast. This is the place where we take a deep dive with industry leaders for an inside look at their world and how they can make a difference in yours.
The University of South Carolina Sandsharks have tipped off their inaugural basketball season in the Division II Peach Belt Conference. Our CEO, Bill Miles, is in our studio to talk about what's ahead with men's head coach Ron Fadala and women's head basketball coach Sharon Versup. Let's listen.
Well, very fortunate today to be sitting down with the two winningest basketball coaches at the University of South Carolina Beaufort. And also one of those coaches is the only undefeated basketball coach ever, well, not ever, before the last game, is undefeated. So anyway, two great people with us today, great backgrounds in basketball, and we're here in the Lowcountry here, just very, very fortunate to have them with us. Coach Sharon, I think I'll start with you and just a tremendous background, and I know wonderful success at Purdue. What was it, eight Big Ten championships?
We had four Big Ten championships, and then I went to the Elite Eight twice, missed the Final Four by a couple points each time. So, but had a great run. It's always about the people that you surround yourself with, all the coaches, great players. Had like eight WNBA players, had over 30 kids go overseas, play professional. But Ron and I were talking about this a little bit, I had a lot of engineers, had a lot of doctors, and the engineers are always asking why. So I have a couple kids on my team now that ask me why. So they kind of have that engineering brain, but, just had a great run, had so much fun, played at Purdue. So going back to your alma mater, it was fantastic. And, now I'm down here and excited. Love the Lowcountry. Love the people down here. It's really important that, I wanted to be rooted in the community. So it's fun to be down here.
Good. We're certainly glad you're here. And Coach Ron, let's a little bit about your background.
Well, kind of just always loved basketball. Played all sports growing up. I don't have any regrets in life, but if I had to change one thing, I would have never stopped playing football. I actually love football. I'm a basketball coach that likes football better than basketball.
Wow.
So played throughout, and I actually haven't played a real game since my last game of my junior year in high school. But always knew I kind of wanted to coach and coach high school basketball for a couple years in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then went out and coached at Santa Clara University with a Pittsburgh guy, Herb Sendek, and then went from there up to Portland State in Portland, Oregon. And then Portland was just so far away from my people in Pittsburgh. I had a brother in Pittsburgh and another brother in Florida at the time, and they would always see each other. And it's been kind of bigger than basketball. So I just wanted the opportunity to be within 1 hour flight of them. So I was going to take a junior college job in Florida, actually. But a spot opened up at IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, Division II school in the PSAC, and was fortunate enough to go there and coach some really good players there for 5 years. And this opportunity opened, and here I am.
Wow. You've been around, but we're glad you've landed. We're glad you've landed right here. What's it like coming into a program where there's no history, there's no program? The two of you are known for your successes, but as you're recruiting players and trying to get a program going, what does it take and what is it like?
Well, I wouldn't want to be with anybody else. Ron and I are so close, and we're selling basketball. We're branding basketball. It's not men and women's right now. These first couple of years, we're trying to just build the excitement and our charge is always high character kids, young men and women that want to, people want to come out and watch because of their excitement, their hard work, the type of young men and women we want them to become. But we had to do everything from scratch, from basketballs to cones to equipment needs to, selling that it's really history and the legacy of the program. Because you can't bring in all freshmen and, so we recruited differently, but you do have to have some kids that are, seniors, juniors, a couple sophomores, just with that experience and just understanding that, to build a program, you need to have a little bit of experience. So, but we've been, doing that together. Obviously recruit separately, but I just like how we have always sold the program together. And I think that's really helped the excitement in this community. And I'm sure Ron has more to add.
Echo everything Coach Sharon said. It's great when you can work with somebody that you truly enjoy working with, that you can look to for leadership and mentorship, and you can bounce ideas off of each other and help each other in different ways. And we both share this a lot of times. It's bigger than basketball. It's about the community. It's about creating a product that the community can be proud of, that's easy to cheer for, that's fun, that wants to watch, you know, unselfish players. They want to watch teams that share the ball. They want to watch teams that play hard defense and get on the floor. And they want to watch people that are invested in them as well. We want both of our players to be invested in the community. We want people to know them. We want them to share in the successes of the program. So it's just been a blessing, you know, the whole way. And like I say, within our team, within Coach Sharon's team, anything you do when you do as a team effort is always a lot easier, right? So if we tried to do basketball and tried to make it separate, it never worked. You know, so we constantly help each other out. And there's differences sometimes, you know, there's a little bit different games. When your goal is to really grow basketball and share basketball and spread love and make the campus life better than what it is and make the administration and the presidents and it takes a whole team effort. We couldn't do it alone. Our administration couldn't do it alone. The campus couldn't do it alone. So just bringing everybody together to grow basketball is kind of what's been the biggest blessing for us.
Coach Sharon, you're a legend, and we're fortunate to have you. So what in your recruiting process, is it recruiting most locally in the South, or are you all over the country? What does that entail?
Well, I think, first and foremost, you want to try to recruit locally. You know, we want to be able to have, in-state kids, because you want the community to be behind them as well. But it's really the right fit, and I'm connected, all over nationally and obviously some areas globally. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, just finding that right fit. We have four kids from kind of the Savannah area, Georgia area, about between 30 minutes and an hour away. So, you know, to me over there, you know, it's not South Carolina, but it's close enough. And some really talented programs. Got a couple kids from junior college, one from Northern Iowa, one down in Florida, JUCO, and she's from England originally. Got a kid from Texas who graduated a Division II school. Got a couple players from, North Carolina, two from Ohio. You're reaching a lot of different pockets, but it's a lot of, you know, our business is relational. It's all about communication and building those relationships. So, you know, we had a lot of people pick up the phone and call, but you got to find that right fit. And it's about selling the culture that we talked about. This is the foundation. We might not be the most talented, but we're going to be all the other things that we want: the character, the discipline, the accountability, the responsibility. The Peach Belt's a really tough conference. So, when you start from the ground up infrastructure, you're really just trying to brand your program. And I was fortunate that, there's a lot of kids that when my recruiting days, I didn't have the beach. Kids want to come to the Low Country. This is a beautiful area. I'm like, oh my God, people want to come here rather trying to sell every second what you may have. And I think the facility and our chancellor's involved, everyone really gets involved, but it takes a lot. But the recruiting piece is obviously very important, trying to find the right kids. We all can make mistakes. They can make mistakes in choosing a school and vice versa. But, I feel like right now the foundation's most important.
In July of 2022, when USCB got the Division II, NCAA Division II status, seemed like just a game changer, not only for the university, but really for the entire region. And to be able to have college basketball being played here locally is something that I know that the community is behind and really, really excited about. And Coach Ron, I want to ask you, so first game, what's it like taking the team out on the floor for the first time, first game? in the history of USCB?
It was great. I knew it would be great because when I showed up for Coach Sharon's game, it was awesome. I mean, the crowd was already awesome. They were into it. They were excited. Sometimes as a coach, I think you have to, you know, kind of give some motivation, right, to the players. But I knew, like, my speech literally was, there's nothing I can say to you guys right now that's going to have an impact on this game. Like, there's literally nothing I can say. You're already excited. The energy's already there. So just kind of watching the joy in the whole gym kind of was the best part of it for me. The kids were interactive. They had fun, you know, they shared the ball, stuff like that. So really just seeing the joy in others was kind of what I enjoyed about it. And as far as kind of like the pregame stuff goes, I didn't even give a pregame speech. We just had a debrief. I barely made the game. Because, like, I sit in the locker room and kind of do my prep a little bit, and I'm writing down certain situations, you know, I call them special situations. So I'm writing my notes for special situations. So in case one comes up during the game, I have somewhat of prep work. I'm like, I'm going to go just check out warm-ups a little bit. I walk out there to check up warm-ups. There's like 3 minutes left. I'm like, okay, we're not coming back in the locker room. So then I just kind of walked out, and it probably helped a little bit because I didn't really, when sometimes you don't have the opportunity to think about something and you just go out there and do it. It just makes it a little bit easier. So that's kind of how our game went, and I'm glad it went well. No magic that I did.
The team went out and put, 130 points up in the first game?
Yeah, the biggest part about that was the kid that made the first basket has been kind of struggling shooting the ball, and it takes a lot of guts, you know, to step up and pull that first one, right?
Yeah.
He did it with no hesitation, so I was really, really excited for him to just kind of get over the hump and watch one go in.
Yeah.
You know, and then it go in, especially in that moment, you know, was special for him. So, yeah, then we just keep playing defense and trying to score layups and shoot threes. And there's really no secret to it.
Yeah. So, Cher, what was it like for you leading the team out for the first game, first time, new place?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was, you know, you need, as I always tell people now that I'm kind of a little bit more mature, that you really have to be present and really soak in these moments because you don't always get them, you know, and sometimes as coaches we get lost because we're focused on the game. But, I just really told the players I didn't have to give a pregame speech just like Ron. It's just like every single person in this room is making history today. That was it. That's the only thing I said. And, you know, and how hard they've worked and how proud I am of them. And, you know, so just being able to come out and seeing all the work, you know, when we talked about just building a program, it's from maintenance to money people to the student life to the chancellor to administration with academia. I mean, it takes so many people to make this happen and to go out and see the stands full and to see the excitement and the students there and just getting the vibe on campus. You know, that was, for me, it was all about the student athletes. You know, everybody's like, oh, how was it on the sideline for you to get back in coaching? I didn't even think about that. This is what I do and this is what I love. So, but it's all about them. And, it was just nice that, you know, we played very well. You know, we've got a lot of injuries right now, but I was so proud of the group, how hard they have adjusted and how we came out and we played with so much passion and obviously playing at home and the energy was fantastic. And, we played a really good game. And so, you know, it takes an army to build something like this. And it was so nice to see it through fruition for sure.
Yeah, it came out, put 70 points up on the board, got the win. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned some players that are injured. I know that we talked briefly before this about that. Just touch on that, because when people hear players injured, you might think about maybe one or two players injured, but a different situation for you right now.
Yeah, I mean, we have 12 players, and now we're down to 7. But all of our experience and all our scoring is injured right now. You know, we have a couple kids. That's a fifth-year kid and another one was a Division I kid. They're going to be out the whole year. We have an All-American junior college kid that has been out for over 2.5 months. We're trying to bring her back. Hopefully she'll be ready for the Peach Belt, you know, but you're still, you know, that's a lot of experience. And then this past, when we played, our first game, one of our little point guards got hurt during the game, Tania Bowman, and she'll be – she'll be out for a couple weeks. And then we had another kid just the other day turn her ankle. So, you know, it's not ideal, but these, you know, players are playing hard. They're doing everything that we're asking them. You know, playing on the road's different than playing at home. And we're very young, like playing five freshmen right now. Like you said, when you build a program, you need the experience so the freshmen don't have to deal with all that pressure early. But, you know, just really taking time. Everybody thinks, oh, you're going to build a program and you're just going to win every game. That's not what it takes. Like, it's building blocks. And these young women are getting a lot of experience, obviously. So future looks good. But they might not have all these playing experience if we were really healthy. You know, so I always find a silver lining in everything. I always flip it to a positive. But, you know, as I say, everybody has a great opportunity. And what I mentioned today, nobody's going to look in the stat book and know that we had five kids injured. They're not looking at that. I've done this a long time. It doesn't matter about that. So you can't feel sorry for yourself, next woman up. But it is unfortunate, because I was really, really excited for, you know, the upperclassmen that really put in a lot of work. So they'll just have to lead in a different way.
Dr. Panu, when he first talked about acceptance into Division II, his face was just beaming and he couldn't have been more pleased. And then as recent as last week at one of our meetings he was attending, talking about the first game and had just the smile and excitement and enthusiasm that that he brings was just so fun to see that passion. And then your athletic director, I'm sure it's got to be a great benefit for Quinn being in place, what, 11, 12 years now, and it's got a good program going there and pretty steady base.
Yeah, Quinn is a very, very consistent, steady base. You know, he's been at the school for a long time. He does a great job of he lets the coaches coach and he lets the administrators administrate, you know, and I think he says it all the time. He says, well, one of his jobs is just to hire great coaches and hire great administrators and let them do the work that they've been hired to do. I think he does a great job of that.
That's a great leader that leads that way. Coach Sharon, so Big Ten, a few more airplanes, few more flights. What's it going to be like and with the bus rides now? And what will the longest bus ride be this year for you?
I think it'll be like 4 hours. It's terrible, but that was one of my parameters of getting back in. You know, I mean, when you coach, it's 24/7. You lose a lot of time. You can't get that time back in your life when you're, you know, doing the red eyes and you're all over the place and recruiting in a car for, you know, 100 hours. But no, I think the Peach Belt is built fantastic. And I think it's great for the student athletes. I just tease. It's not about me. It's about the student athletes. When they were in the their other conference, I mean, it was long. Like they had to go to Miami, Florida. They had to go a lot of different areas. And that's tough on student athletes. It's about them being, you know, it's a student athlete experience. And so, you know, we're hoping about 4 hours. Depends a lot on traffic when you're going to North Georgia, going up south. I mean, going up north, that's going to be probably the longest trip. But it is different. You know, we want to make sure that our athletes are playing on the same playing field as the Peach Belt. We're not going to get there yet because we're just starting our program, but it's very important that, you know, if we need to go the night before to prepare them so they're rested and give them a great pregame meal and study hall and be able to play. I think that's very important. I think that's a key. A lot of Peach Belt Conference teams can do that. Not everybody can. It depends on their funding. You know, so, I mean, as we go through this climb, you know, I mean, it is a climb. It's going to take, you know, 5 to 7 years to get where we need to be. You know, but I think, you know, Kelly Tours does a great job for us with the busing and the travel, and we're working together with always making the best experience for our student athletes and the entire department. But, you know, for us, that's kind of how it'll be.
What's the best way to either one of you? What's the best way for the community that you'd like to see get involved, and especially the business community? How can we come out and support, and what type of support do y'all need?
We need support in every way, honestly, in every way possible. Number one is butts in the seats. I know our games are semi sold out, but we want to get people there. We want to get excited. You literally talk about starting from the ground up. So when we started, we started with nothing. So we need you know, everything from what, like Coach Sharon talked about, want to be able to provide the kids, you know, with you know, decent meals. We need funding for equipment. We don't, like, for instance, we didn't have cones when we started. We didn't have basketballs. We had nothing, right?
It's hard to imagine.
So yeah, what are our needs to be? Our needs are everything, you know, our needs are everything. Any way that the community could come together and support those needs. I mean, the list continues. We're talking t-shirts and uniforms and equipment and shoes and basketballs and cones and shooting machines and video equipment. Any and all of the above are our needs. So it's a great question, and I wish I had a simple answer for it, and I don't. Our needs are everywhere. But what's really special about this level, I think, and this is why I love this level, it's really a community product. That's what's special. I want, you know, in 3 and 4 years, I want our players working for local businesses. I want them working for local lawyers, working for accountants and doctors and restaurants. And I want them to be involved in the community. And I think when the community invests in us, it's just going to help everybody become better.
Well, Sharon, and your thoughts on how the community can help the women. I know all the things he said. Maybe there are other things that on your mind.
No, I mean, what Ron had mentioned is key. But again, it's about the student athlete experience. So we can, you know, maybe take a great experience and travel airplane, mm-hmm. you know, commercial flight to take our players somewhere. There's some tours that, you know, whether it's a Caribbean tour or, you know, some tours that we would like to be able to go and play together, you know, and, you know, foreign tours at the Division I. I mean, you did that every 4 years, but we're just talking like a Thanksgiving tournament. You know, that those type of fundraising dollars, you know, you talked about, you know, butts in the seats. We want season ticket holders. Mm-hmm. When you have season ticket holders, I mean, that's something that's going to be constant. Sponsorships, we do a coaches show, at Okanee Ale House. So any type of sponsors, you know, sponsorships that we have there, because that's going to go back to our student athletes. But it's always about servicing them, just having the best experience they possibly can. So, you know, again, it can be creating ideas, getting us in front of people, could be fundraising. It could be just getting to just get the community come to more activities. You know, I mean, it's just a big umbrella. But at the end of the day, we both have enhancement funds, and, you know, we do our own golf outings. We've gone out and spoke to a lot of people, you know, we're not ones that are going to go out and ask for funds. If people feel like they want to give us something, that's on them. That's not what Ron and I are about.
We're not just beggars. You're coaches.
You're coaches. Yeah. And we're not saying that, but if, you know, we want to continue to rise because, you know, when it's an infrastructure, start a business. What mm-hmm. do you need? Need money?
Capital.
Everybody needs money.
That's right.
Everybody needs capital, and you got to give to receive, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, we're trying to find that good balance. And, you know, again, we have a group called Friends of Fins for men and women's basketball. And we're just trying to cultivate excitement and collaboration and great ideas. To continue to make our venue fantastic and, you know, and give recognition to the community, the people that are continuing to help us.
Where should someone go? Is there a website for the Friends piece of it, or where would they go to?
We're just establishing that, but there is, you know, Tim Daniels is our executive director, like the vice chancellor of development. And there's an enhancement fund page on men's basketball and a women's basketball page. But Tim's kind of the go-to person with all of that. But we're just starting everything because it's our startup. Because we've had to field a team first, and now we're trying to do the other things to really help cultivate stuff. But those are the big keys. You know, you can go to the websites, you can go to different areas and find that information.
Thank you, Coach Ron. You both were on staff last year building the program. And as the season started drawing near, and especially game day, could you just feel a different vibe, a different piece, kind of excitement on campus with the students?
There's absolutely no doubt there was a different vibe on campus. And it's great, too, but we want to talk about community. But as Coach Sharon and I both attract, not us, personally, but like as basketball attracts more people to campus, for instance, our friends that want to come just say hello to us or where we spoke at, man, the campus is beautiful. The campus is absolutely beautiful. So that part's even been different. You know, I've had friends and family, they come down, I'll get texts 2 weeks later, says, man, your campus is great. You know, we want people to see our campus. We have a lot to offer. And the excitement of basketball kind of has created an aura on campus. Like, and this is kind of a little bit sad for me to say a little bit, but even after, like, we first got the job, I work out and run on campus and say hello to people and just randomly pop in people's offices. But even like the question you ask, even now, the different vibe on campus, sometimes it's hard for us to go out and walk around on campus because we got work to do too. We got a job to do too. You know, we need to watch film. We need to prepare and do these things. And we want to be so polite and we love it. Right. But there's definitely a different vibe on campus because you're being stopped in the on the sidewalks. Hello, coach. Nice to meet you. You know, great job. I talked to this player. I talked to that player. This player is polite. This player needs worked on a little bit, you know. So you get, and I like hearing all that because that's really what we're about, is helping young men and helping young women grow to reach their full potential and using basketball as a tool to do that.
Coach, just what early days of you just getting started, who was one or two of the coaches that you looked up to, that mentored you, that really helped you grow as a basketball coach?
You know, I mean, that's a great question. I grew up in an era where I played on a boys basketball team. So my elementary basketball coach, he kind of really took me under. He was my math teacher too. I mean, this is really ancient because I'm older, but he taught me how to play ball. And I played against boys. And so he protected me because they didn't like that I was starting in front of their buddies. So, you know, I took my licks, but I was tough. And then, my seventh and eighth grade coach, he worked with us with AAU. His name's Bill Davidson. He would get out there and play against me a lot. But, you know, he coached, but I still played on the boys team in seventh and eighth grade. So it was just really unique. And then I grew up in Indiana. So it was kind of like Bobby Knight, Gene Cady. Like, I mean, you talk about just masterminding and just teaching. When I played at Purdue, I'd sit there and Gene and I would always talk, but I would sit there and watch the guys practice. You know, I mean, you're just getting the best coaching and motivation. And, you know, Bobby Knight, rest his soul now, but I mean, he was one of the best out there, you know, and back in the day, that's how you coached. So that was kind of my inspiration. And then, you know, with the basketball piece, but my mom and dad pretty much, molded me who I am today.
Thank you. That's great. What about you, Coach Ron?
A whole host of individuals, mainly somebody that I never even met. My grandfather was the AD and assistant basketball coach at the high school that I went to. I never met him, but man, growing up, I'd hear all these stories about him, just like from not just like basketball and community members, but just even students that have become teachers, that were teachers at the school. And they'd say, man, I had your grandfather in class, man, he was such a great person. Or I had him as a coach and da, da, da. And just kind of hearing those stories, I always thought as a youngster, like, man, I want people to be able to say that about me when I grow up. So that kind of inspired me to coach. It happened to just be basketball because that's what I liked. And like I got ADD and basketball is like a next play type sport. You don't have time to really think about the mistake you just made. So I'd say my grandfather won. And then as far as coaching, obviously my high school coach, Rick Hogger, was great. I got to give all the credit in the world of my coaching career to our athletic director when I was in high school. He's the one that made the first phone call to me to get a high school job. So him and then the person I worked for in high school, his name's Tim McConnell, showed me what it means to really love on people. And you can really, really coach them hard, but you better really, really love on them hard too, or it's not going to work. And he kind of showed that to me. And then Herb Sendek, Santa Clara, just taught me a lot about being organized. I don't think as a youngster I was very organized, and I don't really think I still am that organized, to be honest with you, but just kind of trying to grow that skill. He taught me that, and I was with Barrett Peary, and he was great, and Joe Lombardi at IUP. It just, you take a little bit from everybody that kind of helps you along the way.
In Division I, we hear a lot about the transfer portal and NIL, and is that a factor in D2 basketball?
you know, Ron can probably talk about that because he's been in D2 for a while. But I think the transfer portal now is in every level. If kids aren't happy, they'll just leave. You know,
which I think is just terrible.
You know, oh, I agree.
I don't get to play, or I'm not doing what I want to do. I want to play guard. I'm playing forward. Yep. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a societal issue. You know, so it's nothing that we're going to be able to change. We have to adapt to it, and so it's going to happen. You know, Division One, Ron and I talk about it, is transactional because of the NIL and now transfer portal. If you don't give me this money, then I'm going to leave. Or if I'm not happy, I can leave and I can go on to somewhere else. So it kind of opened up with COVID, and those two things really kind of just opened up Pandora's box. So, you know, here, the kids, if they want NIL, I mean, they have to, the bottom line, we can't help them. They've got to create it. We're not going to say, oh, we're giving you $1 million and you haven't shot a basketball once for us. You know, so, I mean, they're like, they could run camps and do that, or if, you know, they become a hot commodity and they want to sell t-shirts. I mean, there's things that they can do, but it's not as prevalent. Mm-hmm. But we want to keep that door open, because I think if kids want to do something of that magnitude, absolutely. You know, in Division One, they're just getting money, maybe not always doing anything for that money.
Earning that money.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and then transfer portal, I think, is, you know, now it's just going to happen because it's been there and people are just going to leave. And they kind of put restrictions on it, but there's still a way to wiggle out of that.
Yeah. We'll wrap up our last question. So your goal this season, Coach Ron, then we'll come back to Coach Sharon and wrap things up.
Our goal is honestly just creating a foundation and a legacy for a lifetime. Our goal is to create culture. How do we create our culture every day? Who do we want to be? How do we want to be remembered? The type of style do we want to play? How do we want to act? How do we want to treat each other? You know, that's our goal. I've always said it. I think W's are a byproduct, especially as you're starting. We got to create a culture, and we got to make this thing really, really special. Because when you are fortunate enough to have your own family, or you grow up, if you do have kids, you don't, whatever, whoever you become friends with, whatever job you have, you're always going to be able to look back and say that I'm a part of the people that got that thing started. You know, we want our product to be special. So that's really what we're trying to do, and we work on it on a daily basis.
Before I go to Coach Sharon, one more piece for you. So two games, 130 points, I think, the first game, 124 points the second game. Those are NBA numbers. So how are you doing that?
I'm not doing anything. Our kids are just playing hard. Our kids are playing hard, and they're doing the things we ask them to do, and they're trying to share the ball, and they are sharing the ball, and I think they can share the ball a little bit better. So nothing special what I'm doing. Just the kids are playing hard, and they're excited to play.
Coach Sharon, what about your goals for the team and you as you move through the first year?
I mean, just totally echoing Ron. I mean, it's all about what's happening now. These young people right now might not reap the benefits of others that are going to come 5 to 7 years down the line, you know, and I've been part of that when I was at Purdue, the first time we got scholarships, and how you're part of that foundation, and we didn't reap the benefits as players, but now they are. So that's the biggest thing, is like, it's not always about what you're going to have, it's what you're going to build. And, you know, and I think when you can find those young people that want to be that brick and mortar and build that foundation, and bring their families back. I mean, these first 2 years, I'm etching our kids' names in the walls. I mean, there's no question, because they're the ones who sacrificed a lot come here and build something really special.
Got to go back to you for one last time. Winningest coach in Purdue history in retirement. Was it hard for you to come out of retirement and get back into it again?
It wasn't hard. It was just wasn't sure if that's what I wanted to do. So it did take me a minute. I mean, it took me about 6 months to think about it, because I was, you know, already down here a year, but I was already giving back to the community. I had a Coach V Consulting LLC to help young people get into college, whether they're students or not. And I was doing free clinics for young people. So, you know, I think why I decided to is because it was the first inaugural Division II program from the start. I think if they already had a program, I would not have probably jumped and took this leap, but because it was something from the ground up, And then when I met Ron, then I'm like, this is even better. So, you know, it's always that part. But, you know, I'm glad I did it. I'm happy. I'm giving back and being part of the community. And I hope these kids, you know, these kids wanted to come and play for me. So that's nice as well.
Well, there's no doubt the University of South Carolina Beaufort is better with the two of you as head coaches, with the leadership that you're providing and how you're growing your student athletes. And for that, we're all very, very thankful. And hopefully you'll come back and talk to us again sometime, because I've enjoyed this. I could go on for another hour, but I will lose my job if I do that. So thanks to both of you for being with us, and look forward to seeing you play soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So you grew up in Indiana.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. The podcast continues to grow, and never miss an episode of our Five Questions podcast by subscribing to the Chamber Channel on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Take a moment to download, subscribe, and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people.